fighting for America.
Hamas is a ruthless terrorist organization. It wants to sacrifice its own people. It uses them as human shields. Israel is not obliged and is not going to let a terrorist organization fire at our cities, at our people.
Fighting for Idaho.
This all has to start with securing the border, not writing the president a blank check to keep doing what he's doing that's not working. Wouldn't it be good to actually allow the governors of those border states to be able to call the National Guard and to help secure the border?
Fighting for you.
She reaches down into her bra, which I'm cool with that. That part's okay. It's sort of sexy.
This is a family value show.
I'm just trying to add a little spice.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
It's something I'll never forget as long as I live.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Okay, Millie in the morning. We're joined by an old friend. It's been a while. And when I thought about what was going on in Gaza and Israel, I saw there's one person that I haven't spoken to, I think, since I was in Pittsburgh, and that's Jonathan Wolstetter. Jonathan, good to have you with us.
Oh, good to be with you, Kevin, and with your audience.
So for people that are unfamiliar with you, your research, and your work, if you could let us know what you've been up to. And before we get to the topics at hand, tell us a little bit about yourself and your area of expertise, sir.
Very well. I am a senior fellow affiliated with two organizations, Seattle-based Discovery Institute and the New York-based London Center for Policy Research. My prime field of expertise is national security, but I also do look at economic issues, sometimes some cultural issues as well, and also cyber war issues as part of national security, but I look sometimes at telecom issues as well. And the one-stop shop for my content is a blog, Letter from the Capitol, OL, sponsored by Discovery Institute, but I'm founder, editor, and solely responsible for content. And there, people can also link to my Twitter page to follow me. They can buy my books, the most recent being Sleepwalking with the Bomb, just released in second edition on nuclear proliferation and the rising dangers we face. You can link to my articles as well as my blog, including postings on my blog. So it's a one-stop shop, Letter from the Capitol.
Well, it's good to have you back.
Great to be with you again.
First off, before we get to Gaza and everything else, since you look at things from a cultural perspective, what's going on with our culture since this administration has come into power?
Well, what's going on with the culture is, I think, a further decline. You have a White House that welcomes gangster rappers and the like, and even people from Hollywood in great numbers in there. Michelle Obama goes on the Oscar show, the White House is supposed to stand for the very best in our culture, and I don't think that this White House has done so. Just the other day, we saw some famous rapper, I can't remember which one, boast about how he got high in the White House. Do we really need to hear this? And some of the videos and stuff that are on there, needless to say, are hardly the best in our culture. We have a lot of wonderful music in our culture. There are a lot of films that are, you know, jazz and classical music, for example. There are a lot of films made these days that are cartoonish and have enormous amounts of violence, to say nothing of other things. And it's too bad because there is a lot of talent, and there certainly could be a better use made of it.
Well, since this administration has come to power, I believe there's been a war on traditional institutions, whether it's the White House, whether it's marriage. And what effects have we seen from this, Jonathan?
Well, I think that what we have seen is a president who has spread this postmodern type of attitudinal cool, which questions sort of everything traditional and even sort of wink-wink laughs at it a lot. And it doesn't replace it with anything that provides comparable social and familial structure. So that can't be a good thing. it also encourages a lot of the kind of attitudes. Braggadocio is very much a part of this modern cool, whereas cool was 50 years ago in the old-time Hollywood. People who were cool were those who were calm and composed, and they didn't go around tooting their own horn. So I don't think that that helps things either.
Well, that's really what concerns me, sir, is the idea that we've turned the president and the first lady into vehicles to be on the Jimmy Fallon show.
Yeah, we have a celebrity culture that is, and I think over the last 20 years, really, this continues a trend that I think has been going on for 20 years. We have become culturally, you could say, I said it in the 90s in the context of the scandals, then Clintonized, we could say Obamaized today, in that we have a fixation with and largely an insensitivity to scandals involving the government, particularly. We have become Oprahized, a therapeutic talk show type culture, and Dianaized in the sense of Princess Diana being a celebrity princess. And what we have here now is we have created celebrity politicians. They tend to be Democratic because that's where most of the culture is leading left. So someone like Hillary is a celebrity candidate. You know, she has 100% name recognition. She and Obama were presented as icons, he of being an African-American candidate and she being a female candidate. And identity politics and just a general infatuation with celebrities seems to be very much in vogue, and I don't think that's a good thing either.
Jonathan Wolstetter with us here. Letter from the Capitol as we move on here at 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's talk a little bit about Israel. And I'm going to play something for you, Jonathan. I think you'll appreciate it. This is from Attorney Chris Troupas. He was on our program.
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
How do we address the seriousness of what's going on in the Middle East with folks that have just checked out?
Well, it is very, very hard to do so. I think most people, at least those who watch the news, seeing rockets getting fired into Israel's major cities, would probably have the passing thought that if rockets were fired into their cities, they'd want their government to do something about it. Unfortunately, we have an administration that has presided over a serious diminishing of America's interest, influence overseas, downsizing our military, retreating from various places, unilaterally declaring an end to wars that the other side keeps fighting. In the case of Israel, I think Americans probably don't have a lot of information as to the background of these conflicts. Indeed, many of our leaders don't. And so it becomes very hard, and as a result, the administration gets a freer hand than it would otherwise have, and this administration believes Israel should essentially concede everything to the Palestinians in return for a promise of peace that would be utterly unenforceable and I think would likely lead to more wars.
So when we take a look at what's going inside, let's talk a little bit about Hamas, because they're both Hamas is a terrorist group and a political party.
Well, that's right. And that essentially, it's one of the forms of Islamism. And Islamist parties are political. They're not really religious parties. Hamas is a political movement. Its name is an acronym for Islamic Resistance Movement. This was a movement made for the purpose of destroying the state of Israel, explicitly. The Palestinian Liberation Organization, the Yasser Arafat's group, was also dedicated to destruction of Israel. It's now the Palestine Authority, and they exercise a little bit more finesse, but Hamas makes no pretense of it. And it's closely affiliated with other Islamist movements like the Muslim Brotherhood, which held power in Egypt for a while until it tried to turn Egypt into a Sharia state, and there was a popularly supported uprising against it. And they should be distinguished somewhat from so-called Salafist movements, which are fundamentalist religious movements. These are primarily political movements, and they make expedient alliance, and they would, of course, enforce that Sharia. But it's a very sinister and dangerous movement, and Israel is looking at the prospect that if they don't eliminate the threat now, they're going to face a worse threat down the road, because the next generation of rockets that Hamas is likely to get are going to be much more accurate. And they have to worry about the West Bank, because that's much closer to Ben-Gurion Airport. And if you could target Ben-Gurion Airport with a barrage of missiles, you might be able to overwhelm missile defense systems and shut down the airport. And Israel would have no choice then but to go into the West Bank, which is 20 times the size of Gaza, and engage in a very costly operation. And Israel takes casualties to spare innocent Palestinians, as their ambassador to the U.S., Ron Dermer, said recently. And we're fighting, you know, they're fighting people, and it is really weak, because Israel's fight is our fight, whether this administration understands it or not. They're fighting people who, as Prime Minister Netanyahu said some days ago when he did an interview, he said, we're using missiles to protect our civilians, and they're using civilians to protect their missiles.
Jonathan Wohlstetter.
Difficult to fight such people.
Jonathan Wohlstetter, our guest, letterfromthecapitol.com, his blog where you can catch up with all things Jonathan. With all things Jonathan, I have to hit you with this, though. How significant, how much of a game changer is it with these crazy tunnels? I hear we're not talking like the Viet Cong tunnels. We're talking about cement tunnels with water, millions of dollars to make these things. And the Israelis are having trouble. I mean, one guy was out in his lawn hanging out. The next thing he knows, a terrorist pops up from a secret tunnel.
Well, this is a game changer indeed. The tunnels right now are a greater threat to Israel than the rockets. And in a 14-kilometer zone, which is roughly not quite 9 miles, 15 kilometers is 9 miles, they have the Palestinians have 1,200 tunnels. So Gaza is 20 times larger. So what would they have, 24,000 tunnels? This absolutely is a desperately deadly threat. And there were cases where they were close to kibbutzes and they discovered these tunnels. And they could have gone in there and just massacred people. So it's a very severe threat. And it's united across Israel. It has united the Israelis. Even Tzipi Livni, the justice minister, who was very dovish, who ran well to the left of Netanyahu, and actually in 2009, the first time, she got the most seats in the Knesset, 28, her party did, and Likud got 27, Netanyahu's party, and now, just 3 years later, they run a new election, and a snap election. And she got 7 seats down from 28 because she was very dovish. And now she's on board. She says, we have to eliminate these tunnels. So there's an immense support across the spectrum of Israeli society, except for fringes on the far right and far left, who support what Netanyahu is doing. He's in the center of where Israeli politics is toward the Palestinians, which this administration does not seem to grasp.
More coming up with our friend Jonathan.
The Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. Jonathan Wohlstetter with us once again from the Discovery Institute. Letterfromthecapitol.com. His blog talking about cyber war, terrorism, the Middle East, and all things that scare us. Jonathan, let me hit you with this. How much has ISIS changed the game, and did we have any idea just how scary this group would be?
Well, it has changed the game significantly because it has come from virtually nowhere 2 or 3 years ago, and it is now considered more powerful and influential than Al-Qaeda in the Middle East. So it has come a long way. It is extremely dangerous. They are if it's possible, they are even more violent to the point where Al-Qaeda, although obviously only for public relations reasons, has disavowed them. It's not because anything they do distresses Al-Qaeda, except to the extent that it may rally sentiment against the Islamist, various Islamist groups.
And again, just coming out of nowhere, they're so violent that Al-Qaeda has renounced them. How significant is it that they've pretty much dismantled what took us years to build in Iraq?
Well, it's extremely significant because America had an enormous stake in seeing to it that Iraq remained relatively stable. America then also could have controlled the airspace and prevented the Iranians from resupplying Hafez, Bashar Assad in Syria. And also the retreat from there is viewed as a sign of weakness, and this is very dangerous. If you go back to bin Laden's original decrees, fatwas that he issued, bin Laden talks about how we abandoned our people in Vietnam, talked about even Mogadishu in 1993 in Somalia, where when we were going in hunting a warlord, which we were doing at the behest of the UN, which has a knack for getting people into trouble, including us, and a firefight ensued, and we lost 18 dead, 75 wounded, with three of our brave soldiers dragged through the streets of Mogadishu, we pulled out. And in doing so, that was interpreted by Al-Qaeda very differently than we did here. We were very upset about it here, but few people thought it would have consequences other than an embarrassment at the time, or that it would. But in fact, Al-Qaeda looked at that and said, America's on the run, and they drew the not very logical conclusion that we would then not respond if they knocked down a couple of towers and killed thousands of our people, which turned out, of course, not to be the case. So any time you're perceived as retreating in that part of the world, it's a very tough neighborhood, and one hates to use schoolyard imagery, but the fact is bullies look for weakness, for passivity, retreat. And that just doesn't work in international politics. The forces that are most likely to move in most cases, if we retreat, are going to be malignant forces, hostile to America, and the president is learning this the hard way.
Jonathan Wolstetter, our guest, as we continue on. Kevin Miller in the morning, letterfromthecapitol.com. What about the border?
Well, the president has abandoned the notion of sovereignty to the extent that he has an open border. And apparently they're telling the Border Patrol people, there are reports in the last couple of days, not to seriously enforce the law and warning them not to tell the media about it, which is not a good sign. The president wants to bring in a lot of people who he believes will be dependent and will become Democratic voters. And that's really what's driving this, I think. Also, he wants to try and blackmail Congress into passing an immigration reform bill. The reform would lead, if not to outright amnesty, it would lead to a lot more immigrants coming in and without the kind of differentiation between, for example, skilled immigrants and unskilled that the Republicans are looking for. I do think, though, that the American public looks at that and they expect the president to defend the borders. So this could be a big issue in the fall, and it will not help the Democrats.
Anything that we should be looking out for?
In the case of the immigration thing?
Yes.
Well, the main thing is that they are sending them out to states without telling the governors. So, and you're also getting people who are not pre-screened health-wise, and you may see some strains of disease emerge. It's a terrible thing. The main thing they should do is they should return these children to their parents. Sure, the places they live are terrible, but that's true all over the world. And if you don't do that, they'll send more. They go on this 1,700-mile train ride, and they're in the not very tender care of coyotes, smugglers, the drug cartels, and the gangbangers. And then when they come here, many of them will have been abused viciously, and then all of a sudden now we're going to be compassionate. This is like inviting somebody across the street knowing they'll get run over by a car, and after they do, you pick them up, you get a stretcher, you take them to the hospital. This is not going to end well.
Jonathan, good to have you. We'd love to have you back. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Likewise, Kevin, to be with you and your audience. And I'll have more on these subjects on Letter from the Capitol.
Take care, sir.
Thank you. You too.
That's our friend Jonathan Wohlstetter, letterfromthecapitol.com. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Kevin. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi there, Kevin. How you doing?
Hello. Bonjour. Buenos dias.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Well, you won't hear that anywhere else. We're proud to be partnered with the schools, and we're looking forward to going back to the schools, promoting our schools, securing our future. Hard to believe, though, that already, whether it's Fred Meyer, whether it's Albertsons, whether it's any store in the Treasure Valley, and they didn't start back to schools this week. They started the back to school specials like 2 weeks ago. And if you're a kid, you're like, give me a break. And, oh, if you're a parent, you're saying, I'm just counting the days. Anyway, Kevin Miller with you here. The latest on Gaza, the fighting continues. We've got some developments with the illegals in the White House. We'll tell you a little bit about that. Just not a lot of good news. I'm trying to think of something entertaining, something provocative, something that's memorable. And sometimes, and I understand this, you can't listen 4 hours a day, as our friend Sean Hannity, all we ask is 3 hours a day. Well, yes, Sean, who has 3 hours? We had a little interesting battle when we were, well, when we were at Lionheart Tactical. We had Jim from Star go toe-to-toe with our friend Gun-Toting Pat. And Gun-Toting Pat, Gun-Toting Pat, she loves the Second Amendment, and she wanted to show us just how much she loved the Second Amendment. She pulled a Derringer out of her bra. And Jim from Star lost it. I've never seen Jim from Star just totally lose it when Pat pulled out a Derringer from her bra. And apparently Jim from Star didn't like the way she was pointing it or using it. Pat said it wasn't loaded. Jim from Star said that's how accidents happen. And, oh, that was just the beginning.
I can't believe what I witnessed. She reaches down into her bra, which I'm cool with that. That part's okay. It's sort of sexy. But then she pulls...
This is a family value show.
I was just trying to add a little spice. So then she pulls out this, what I believe to be... Is that a Derringer you had?
It's a Derringer.
Yeah. Pulls it out, points it at the hardest working man in show business here, Kevin Miller. Right at him. You did too. Hey, I'm not saying this to be a jerk. I'm saying this, there's a way to handle a gun, and that is totally the wrong way.
Whether you're saying it to be a jerk or not, you're a jerk.
Good. You pointed it right at him, and you thought it was no big deal. The gun could have slipped, hit the edge of the table. Next thing you know, Kevin's dead.
Well, I had a good run.
Yeah. And I know you did. You had a good run. Gotcha. I just saw you pull that gun out, and it pointed right at him, and then you fumbled around with it.
Oh, give me a break.
That was, oh, you shouldn't have a gun. You need training. You need training.
And you need to go away.
No, I don't.
Do you always carry a Derringer, a gun in your bra?
No. Very definitely, I know what I'm doing.
No, you don't. You clearly don't.
Yeah,
no one pulls a gun out.
You're as full of it as a Christmas goose.
I knew that was coming. That was a good one.
I'm just going back to the
Derringer
and the bra.
Yeah, well, listen.
I'm 77. I managed to get this.
You're old
far.
Enough to be my mom.
I'm old enough to be your grandmother.
No, not
get
quite.
Get off my back.
I'm still going back to the Derringer and the bra.
Yeah. She might have been one of the original Bonds women, you know, one of the James Bond women.
I'm just used to putting up with nonsense, and this is nonsense.
No, this is not. Better. She's a sweet lady. I'm not. Don't
are you?
Take
you
no,
are
I'm
you,
not
are
a sweet
you're
lady.
A sweet lady.
You got
I can
it
tell.
Wrong.
We should.
Would you like to have a shoot off with him?
Hell no.
Why? I thought you were a good shot.
I don't hang out with guys who beat up on old ladies.
You're beating up on old ladies.
You know, she does have a point. You are beating up on, you know. I'm going back to, again, the Derringer, where it was.
Derringer in the bra.
Yeah, yeah.
And who knows?
When he calls me a monkey, I'm supposed to go have a shoot-off with him. Are you kidding? Yeah.
Would you pull your gun out and show us how you handle that in front of
He's not wearing a brassiere.
I cannot.
Would you like to give her a swat on the butt?
Maybe. But the thing is,
would you allow him to give you a swat?
I wouldn't count on that, Turkey.
It's got to be swift and just punishment, and that's
why
I'm
talking about the swat.
Swift and just.
I put the gun on the table. I did not point it at him. You're as full of it as
the Christmas goose.
Right. I don't need some smart aleck giving me a lecture.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't give her a lecture.
I've managed to get along all these many
barely
years with oh yeah.
There we have it. So we hope you enjoyed that. But again, as you can tell, I was a little flummoxed there as Pat was just sitting there talking to me. And before I knew it, she pulled a Derringer out of her brassiere. Jim rushed to my defense, was worried about my safety as well as the safety of everybody else there. Tea Party Bob was sitting back saying, she pointed it at me. She pointed at me. Apparently, according to everybody there, Pat was pointing that I didn't really see that much of an issue with it, but again, I found it very entertaining, and that's really what we're trying to do here. Yes, we want to cover the issues, but the idea of passion, my friends, we have become so sanitized in our society today. We've become so politically correct. If we could build an oasis of politically incorrect folks, oh, I know what you're going to say. Kevin, you and your Island of Misfit Toys, you and your Animal House-like radio show. Well, yeah. If you found out those people are usually the most creative, the most out-of-the-box thinkers, and how many times, whether it's at work, oh my goodness, whether it's at work or at home or at church or anywhere else, people just sit back and have to conform. They have to conform. Look at what happened to Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy, if you watch football on Channel 7, Sunday nights at 7, Tony Dungy is one of the lead analysts, big-time coach, blah, blah, blah. They asked him about the gay football player, Michael Sam. And he said, you know, I wouldn't draft the guy. Well, the guy's a seventh-round draft pick, and I think that Michael Sam came out of the closet so he would get drafted, so he could be the quote-unquote Jackie Robinson of the gay rights movement. And regardless of what you think about that, I think Tony Dungy has a right to say, as a Christian, as a man of faith, I just wouldn't draft the guy based on merit. Well, you would think that Tony Dungy was the biggest homophobe ever. And it really came from the sports talk media, which is inhabited by a bunch of liberals that couldn't make it on news talk radio. That's really, if you don't want to make it, go into sports talk radio and talk about locker rooms, and you'll do very well. Now, a lot of people are going to say, oh, there you go being caustic. Well, you hear the vitriol and the hatred directed at a good family Christian man, Tony Dungy, and yeah, it gets to you. Think about that. There used to be dissent in this country. Then there's a guy that was playing for the New York Giants that now wants to be their director of player personnel that said, if I could give up my Super Bowl winning catch, you know, the one that beat the Patriots, the first one, not the second one, and stop same-sex marriage, I would. And people ripped at him, said he should be fired after he was hired. I mean, how crazy is it? And then we have, you know, Senator LaFaver, former state Senator LaFaver on another, say there's discrimination. I'd like to see it. I see it as the other way around. And then you think to yourself, man, is there any place where I can just voice my opinion? Well, that's what we're trying to build here. And I always, you know, I tell you the truth. I don't sit back and say, well, you know, everything's wonderful. Look, this is a battle. This is a battle to show people, whether it's our great people that sponsor this program. A lot of local businesses do. They put it on the line. We thank them. Whether it's you that listen when you could be listening to hip hop, bibbidi bop, or some other gibberish. We get that. I understand the significance of the blessing that we have each and every morning. And that's why we work hard to try and give you something. And we'd appreciate it if you, you know, tell a friend, what have you. Because, once again, the sanitization seems to be moving in everywhere. You know, what's to blame? Well, it went too far. The shock jocks went too far. And now, on the other hand, you have people that are afraid to express their opinions. That's why we love the Jim from Stars. We love the gun-toting Pats. We love people that will just tell it like it is. And we encourage you to come to our party each and every morning. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up, the illegals go to the White House. Mike Tracy joins the crew. Think about this. Here's Hillary Clinton. Could she be the next president of the United States? I mean, let's face it. If the election were held today, would you vote for Clinton, Romney, or Obama?
Do you think you have a Latino problem?
I hope not. I never have before, so I hope not. Obviously, we have a lot of problems that we have to address together.
But not a Latino problem.
Well, the Latino community has problems that we have to all work on, but I don't think I have a problem.
Here's what I'm saying, because recently you said about the Central American children coming to the United States, that we have to send them back.
Well, that was a sort of a short circuit of what I have said overall. I've made several points. There's two kinds of children getting to our border. There are what we might call migrant children, and what we might call refugee children. And within our legal framework, we need to, on a humanitarian basis, provide emergency care for all the children. I don't care who they are or where they come from. They need to be given the basics, the necessities, and as much love as we can. But we also, if they're migrant children or if they're refugee children, we have certain procedures we're supposed to follow. And what President Obama is saying is, Congress hasn't given him the resources to do what is necessary to appropriately handle these children.
So you don't think we should send them back?
Well, because some of them should be sent back.
Just because your child gets across the border, that doesn't mean that the child gets to stay.
But
that's what you said.
Yeah, but that's what I meant, is that just because a child gets across the border, what category does that child end up in?
But who would you deport?
Whoever was in the category where they don't have a legitimate claim for asylum, where they don't have some kind of family connection, those children should be.
Well, it gets better, and we'll get back to this. I'm just amazed that politicians won't answer the questions. When she's involved with a pro-American crowd, we need to send them back. Hillary Clinton, when she's involved with the Fusion or Univision or whatever it is, you notice how they squirm. And who really stands up for America? I know the veterans have stood up for America. Heck, the veterans, because we've had an all-volunteer force since Vietnam, could have chosen to hang out, go to college, stay on the block, be home where it's safe, make good money. But no, the veterans stood up for America. It's a shame that our national politicians, one eye being Hillary Clinton, will not say this. I mean, do you see how scared she is talking to this guy? I mean, it really, you can get angry, but I don't know if laughter is the best medicine, but how about this? Illegal immigrant demonstrators were protesting outside the White House on Monday, but don't expect America's immigration officers to intervene. Let me repeat that. People that are in the country illegally were protesting outside the White House, but ICE wasn't called. They won't be deported. Now, what type of message does that send? You know, here in Idaho, we've just had our speed limit expanded to 80. Now, if people go 90 or 95, why even post a speed limit? Why even post citizen requirements? Why even do that, my friends? Why not just punt and instead of calling it the United States of America, why don't we just call it the United States of the World? More on this story. And again, next hour, it's our friend Mike Tracy. Let's get you to traffic with Ron. Like we said, coming up next, Mike Tracy. But before that, apparently an Immigration and Customs Enforcement official indicated to Fox News that even if protesters end up getting arrested by the police in our nation's capital, they'd have to be serious criminals for ICE to get involved. Unless the individuals meet ICE enforcement priorities, it's unlikely that the agency would get involved in the case. Now, remember, if you're just tuning in here at 580 KIDO before the news at the top of the hour, You've got illegal you've got illegal immigrants protesting outside the White House. They weren't detained. They weren't arrested. They will not be deported. Maybe we should just eliminate ICE and use that money somewhere else. If we're not going to enforce our laws, why do we have them? Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Judy Emmett,